Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to the Round 5 Super Footy Podcast. Still two games to go, but I can tell you, boys, at this moment in time, Richmond are premiership favourites at $6 for the first time since 1982. How good does that sound with three Richmond supporters? Starting with you, John Ralph.
Hello, Mick Warner, and we all remember what happened in 1982, don't we?
This streaker?
No, we got belted in the grand final. What a round it's been. And you know, tell you what, Mick, everyone's got the same salary cap. There's a football department cap as well. And what happens? It's a fantastic equal season where anyone can win or lose on any single weekend, apart from Carlton.
It's a bit harsh. And joining us as well this time, Chris Kavanagh, a.k.a. Black Kavanagh. And, mate, what a round of footy.
Yeah, it's been interesting, hasn't it? I was just saying to Ralph, it hasn't been overly high scoring. It's been pretty defensive, actually. But, I'm very much looking forward to the last two games in Richmond, Melbourne and Essendon and Collingwood. On the Anzac Day.
Well, good footy's based on defence, and a team that we've completely underrated and not really given enough love, so let's do it right now, is the North Melbourne Football Club. I've just come from that game. Incredible game, 57 points up, and then losing those two players almost in the same play to concussion, down the rotations, gutsy win, and they're now up to third on the ladder.
And we all laughed when Brad Scott said, oh, maybe Jared Waite's got his best footy in front of him. Now, I know he missed some goals today, but he was outstanding. Ben Brown, I don't know what he's on. Is he on 800,000? Is he on $1 million? Because I remember Wayne Carey said he could be on 1.2. He deserves that. He is a superstar of the competition. He's one of the most underrated players in the comp, even though he's a megastar, because we all want to pump up the likes of Buddy Franklin and so many of these young kids on the rise. This guy just performs every week.
He actually said tonight that after the game, he'd only started playing as a key forward in 2013. He was a ruckman in Tasmania, so what a development.
Yeah, he's come from Werribee and shown up a lot of recruiters, hasn't he, in coming in and playing a massive role for North.
So what? How have we underrated them, Chris? Is it the young kids or is it Zeeble forward? What's happening at North?
I don't think their list is too bad, and I think any side that's got Waite and Brown up forward firing is going to be pretty dangerous. Zeeble's having an impact up forward too this year, so they've got a bit going for them.
Well, they won six games last year. I think they lost six games by a goal or less. So, if your auntie had whiskers, she'd be your uncle. But, so they were so close in many respects. Look, they're outstanding. The one thing I would say is that their VFL team just gotten beaten by the AFL Academy team. Now, the AFL Academy team's in a super draft, but they can see that their depth is not incredible. But when your young players play well, and when your stars stand up, this is the kind of thing that happens. So they still need more talent for them to bounce back and be a premiership contender. But they're well coached, their stars are playing well, the kids are playing well, they got real heart, and that's why they won a great game on Sunday afternoon.
And they've got Port Adelaide at home next week. They could win that the way that Port... Just a quick word on Port. Do you think that is it too early to say the strategy of all in, Ralphie, with the older players, Motlop, Watts... who else have we got there? Rockliffe.
Trengove.
It was always dangerous, and the signs on Saturday night were poor.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Sydney in Sydney.
Which is a great win.
Isn't that interesting how we're going to recalibrate every week? The teams that beat North
They call Melbourne. It franking your wins now.
Yeah, that's exactly. Oh, they beat Sydney. Hey, hang on. Sydney might not be that good. But look, I always thought Rockliffe was going to be the one that was going to have a huge impact, and yet he's out with a knee and a calf. Yeah, Motlop. Now, he had two great finals last year, but he probably had 10 or 12 putrid games. Jack Watts was just so-so on the weekend. So, until they can win big finals, there's always going to be a question mark about them being flat-track bullies, even though they're going to get a couple of home-and-away wins that'll be pretty good during the year.
Yeah, you talk about flat-track bullies. I mean, they did the same last year. They didn't really beat too many quality sides.
Yeah, win against Sydney at the SCG early, and then not that much.
Yeah, and Geelong had 11 players under 50 games last night too.
They're going very nicely, aren't they?
They're very impressive, yep.
It reminds me, Port, a bit about Brisbane Lions when they went all in with Favola. I'm just maybe slightly different, but I'm not sure it's going to work.
The worst trade in AFL history, that one.
Well, it looked good when he kicked 50 goals at the halfway mark of the season.
Didn't look good when he was in rehab.
He ripped his groins and he was never played again. Let's talk about the bumps, because it's not back, but it's certainly on the agenda couple of big ones. Lindsay Thomas will start with that one. It's been called a dog act by some people. I know Robbo's harsh on it, says he's a recidivist. Get that word out. What do you make of it, boys?
Look, he keeps on being supported by people who know him well. All we can judge him on is what we see on the field. And we see a bloke who has headbutted people. We see a bloke who has run through the line to pick off people. It was a disgraceful act. He looked
disgraceful
anywhere but the football. He had a huge chance, you know, multiple seconds to think, I'm going to go for this ball. And his eyes were on the man, and his eyes were nowhere near the football.
If he didn't get him in the head, though, say he got him in the side of the body, no one would be talking about it, would they?
Well, again, we look at past form. You look at last year where he ran past the ball and he picked off Corey Wingard and got Corey Maynard rather, and got a 3-week suspension.
So you're going with the past form to judge him.
That's my point. Everyone says Brad Scott defends him to the ends of the earth. All we can look at are those incidents. He's got an extremely long tribunal record. He's got, you know, four weeks of suspension last year. He's lucky now that they're in the VFL and the system's changed so he doesn't get extra loading. And I think they'll give him 2 weeks because they'll see it as careless. It was clearly intentional, and he should get more than that. And yet the system's going to help him because they'll tick it off as careless because they say, oh, all bumps are careless. I reckon 2 weeks is inexcessive.
Yeah, completely agree, Ralphie. And when you're in your first game for a new club, that's not what you want to be doing and getting rubbed up out straight away.
What about the Ryan Burton one on Higgins, who was knocked out today? Now, it reminded me of Ben Cousins versus Buddy Franklin many years ago. But he chose to bump when he could have handballed, couldn't he not? So what, I know he didn't run past the ball, etc., but wouldn't he be in just as much trouble?
Probably. And I only say probably because a couple of years back, if you chose to bump, you knocked a person, even if it was an accidental head contact, then you were suspended. There was an incident involving Lindsay Thomas and Ben Reid was one of those. But now, if it's a footy act, if you didn't leave the ground, you know, there are ways in which you don't get suspended. I reckon Chris Owen in the end will say, though, you had another option. You could have tackled, you chose to bump, the player was injured. And so
severely
you're
injured.
So you're going to get suspended.
I'm guessing a bit, but could he get worse than Thomas? Or because he didn't run? But
no, it'll be seen as careless again, and so probably careless and high impact, and again, might get 2 weeks, and probably find himself at the tribunal. I'd love to see this at the tribunal.
Send the bumps to the tribunal?
Well, only as a test case. So only as we actually get it tested in front, with evidence from maybe both parties, and we know from now on, it doesn't matter if it's accidental. Even if it's an accidental head clash, you get suspended, and we all get a precedent. We all get a line in the sand.
Tom Mitchell only had 19 disposals today, Chris, but he was involved in an incident. We won't know the results till midday, but have you seen it, and do you think he's in trouble?
Oh, I haven't actually seen it. Yeah,
right, sorry, mate, three under the bus there. I have seen it. He throws the elbow out, gets him high. I guess it'll be a matter of the force.
Yeah, so Todd Goldstein's running away from the play. It's a long way behind the scenes, which immediately means it's intentional. He cocks his elbow and gets him. So if it's seen of enough force for a reportable incident, he gets a week and he's out of the Brownlow. What they might say is it's not of a force that's reportable. Mm. He gets a misconduct
but
fine.
But given the hoo-ha about jumper punching last
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. So it was right in between. And probably if he wasn't a Brownlow fan, he would say, you know what, it was a stupid act. You elbowed a bloke in the head. You know, maybe just on the borderline, we still think you get a week. There is every chance he will, you know, be rubbed out of the brown line.
And there was another one, Zerha on David.
One more time.
Cam Zerha.
Don't.
On David Mirror. He'd be in trouble too, I'd imagine, for shoving him into the fence. But let's talk about the draw debate, Ralph, because I saw you make an absolute clown of yourself on Twitter by saying we've got to get rid of the draw. We may as well join the NBA if we're going to change the rules.
Going pretty well, the NBA.
Game that's been going for 130 years, and as soon as there's a draw, you get blokes like James Brayshaw saying we've got to change the rules, and then you jumped on. I couldn't believe it. Why do we have to change our game? And I just want to bring you to the charter, which they put out.
Oh, the
out.
Charter.
Fanfare.
Right, okay,
but why did they do the charter?
That was a nice little PR stunt.
To say, the charter says we've got to keep the unique features of our game, and one of them is a draw. And the other one, by the way, is prior opportunity. We won't even bother with that one.
Mick, you and I and Chris, even though Chris is a bit younger, we have been traditionalists. But this game's about entertainment now. It's about the young kids coming through.
You actually believe what you say?
I do. So we are now competing against Lionel Messi and the Champions League. We're now competing against Grand Theft Auto. Now we're competing against Minecraft and all those things.
Minecraft.
And so for me, entertainment becomes the best bit of drama you can find in a game. And we've seen so often, every time there's overtime, every time there's extra time, you go, this was unbelievable. So for me, it's all about maximising drama. And then we might get better TV rights, and then you and I might get paid, Mick, as well. So
from the TV, I got sacked from that.
Oh, yeah,
Chris,
yeah.
What do you think about the draw, mate?
I think draws do leave everyone a bit flat.
That's the idea of
I'm not sure many St Kilda supporters walked away happy from Etihad yesterday.
I think they mess did. With the Zohan or with Chris Kavanagh. What do we call him?
Black Kavanagh.
Black Kavanagh, thank you, yes.
What about the Tide test, mate?
You just parroted it straight from Tim Lane.
No,
mate.
I actually came up with it. Tim jumped on board.
There you go.
The extra time
I think
final.
I stole it off someone else from earlier in the day.
Good on.
Extra time final last year between West Coast and Port Adelaide was pretty exciting.
But you know you're changing like history.
Again. Yeah.
Like Richmond wouldn't have won the flag last year without the draws because it meant that the Giants finished in a position. Anyway, I've lost my track. But
are we about to strip the Tigers?
Well, we're going to have to go back into history and erase all draws. You can't change history, right?
Well, yeah, Mickey, we say the draws okay because we don't in the home and away season. We don't get the extra time. We don't get the drama. I think that drama would have been extraordinary.
Well, let's talk about the drama of that game and the Saints. Who I think it was Seb Ross who said that they came out on the better side of the draw, and I agree with him because it was a gutsy draw by the Saints who had everything thrown at them last week.
Yeah, Alan Richardson said on AFL 360 on Monday night last week, I think, that he was going to get in the middle of the team song and jazz them all up if they won, and they almost got there. It was a very impressive effort from the Saints.
It was.
I still reckon David King will find a way on Monday night or Wednesday night to just itemise all of their inside 50 entries. Yeah, they should have won that game by 6 goals. They had 60-plus inside 50s. You know, the bloke's 70 metres out and he finds a way to kick the ball towards the boundary. And maybe that's because Jake Gresham and Billings are leading. But Billings has got the yips. There is nothing shorter than that.
He
had a horrible year last
year.
There was one effort where he had he'd missed a shot 30 metres out. And then at halfback, he pinpointed the ball to Tim Membry on the lead. Yeah, and yet he can't kick a goal from 30 metres out. So it was an amazing game filled with drama, but they should have won that game.
A 67 inside 50s for 10 goals for the Saints. It's not very good, is it? No.
At least Paddy McCartan kicked one. Well, a very nice longer. Good story out of that. The concern for other clubs was Brett Delidio. He was outstanding for the second week in a row. Looks to have his mojo back.
How sad was that, Chris? I mean, he makes the decision to leave after being one of the most loyal servants of the Tigers. You know, the Achilles stuffs up on him in the preliminary final. He thought he wasn't going to play again. He realises that he sucked it up a bit, that he probably should have been a better mate. And yet it looks like he's got a new lease on life.
Yeah, absolutely. He's you do almost feel for him a little bit, don't you? But, he's certainly it is good to see him back up and playing like he was at Richmond a couple of years ago.
And, Mickey, some people said last year, maybe the GWS window is closing. When you see Finlayson coming through...
He's outstanding, isn't he? But, geez, they were pretty ordinary. I mean, I'd just like to see the Giants be consistent for an eight-week block or something to justify... Because they always seem to fall at that hurdle.
Yeah, but they were banged up last year. And so my point is to see the
Everyone
guys like Toronto coming through and Hopper.
Yeah,
and, you know, the Tigers didn't have an injury, Mick, for 20 weeks. But my point is to say that, look, they're going to be an elite side. Yes, we'd all love them to see a bit more consistent win a flag to Frank Mick, their form. But, they got a couple of great kids coming through.
What did you think of the Friday night game? Extraordinary result with the Texan responding. Are the Swans too buddy-centric, Chris? Are they old?
Oh, I think they are a little bit, yeah. Kiss of Death was the only one who tipped Adelaide in the paper. But, it was good to see the Crows bounce back. And it was that kind of weekend, wasn't it? There's a couple of the sides under the pump of... have hit back hard, and the Crows were certainly one of them without the Crouch brothers still, and
Sloan.
Eddie Betts and Sloan. Yeah. And Walker really stepped up and led them to victory there.
Why is it always Buddy's fault?
Buddy-centric is a team too.
But
it's never Buddy's fault.
Isaac
he's the greatest
player I've ever seen. Five contested marks. He hit the post. He kicked behinds. You know, if he kicks truly, then everyone's saying, what a beautiful, you know, tall-small combo they've got. Look, I agree. At times there, they went to him two and three out, you know, one versus three. But... I still think Heaney had a chance to change that game, and yet, again, Mick, accurate kicking is good football.
And their midfield, just a few signs. I mean, they've been going around for a long time, those boys, some of those Warriors, haven't they?
But Kennedy and Hanbury, all struggling, aren't they?
Well, Kennedy's got pass marks, hasn't he? Kennedy's got brownie points, but he's had two, I'm going to call it stinkers in a row. So it's going to be interesting to see whether he's hobbling with something. You know, Hanbury's had a great pre-season. So, you put a bit of a watch on them just to see if that midfield can bounce back.
What did you think of the imbeciles booing Joel Selwood when he got an Anzac medal at the Adelaide Oval?
Ridiculous, wasn't it? You know, like, is that just that they boot him because he's Joel Selwood, or did they actually see the fact that he sort of ragdolled Lindsay Thomas after Thomas went whack?
It doesn't surprise me much. I mean, I'm not sure if how many listeners we got in Adelaide, but
I heard 70,000 per
Adelaide crowds
just
are pretty.
From Adelaide.
The Adelaide crowds are pretty vicious, aren't they? And have been for a long time.
That's good. We'll hashtag that in the Twitter follow. That's good. So, no, you're right. But I mean, yeah. You know, look, we've all feel at times like Joel Selwood's, you know, gone on the wrong side of the law with the ducking stuff. But he's one of the great champions, and he's an automatic Hall of Famer. He doesn't deserve ever to be booed.
And another team that bounced back, the Blues, some great signs from Cripps, who's just, he's elite now, isn't he? And some of the younger players as well, Ralphie.
I'm fascinated. Was Bolts wrong in that he didn't bring Harry McKay in until he's in good form? Or was he right to say that, you know what, we really needed to build his confidence up? Because he looked fantastic. You know, all a tall player needs to do is stay at the top of the square, take a couple of strong marks, kick the lovely check side as well. It just straightens him up.
Yeah.
I mean, he hadn't been doing a hell of a lot in the VFL, though, either, so it's interesting that he has come in and had such an impact. A couple of them were easy ones, but a couple of them were very nice goals as well, so he's done well.
And they went back to the defensive stuff, didn't they? Chipped the ball around a bit. They brought in Sam Rowe, and Rowe's a great story himself. You know, he beat testicular cancer, did the ACL. Some people thought he might not come back, but, you know, he just calmed them down. And, you know, they might only win 4 or 5 games this year, but Yeah, I think Carlton fans saw some of those green shoots finally.
It's good to see Jones hit back too after a pretty tough week. He copped a little bit after being ahead of the reverse Coleman ladder, but yes, he did quite well with Rowe there on Kennedy.
Any cliches from the coach post game? I didn't see his...
No, he had a bit of a laugh about it. He said, "I'll sprinkle a few more cliches in." But aren't footy fans smart though? That they've heard the cliches once, twice, three times. Like, they want legitimate analysis. They want real insight. They want inner sanctum stuff. And that's what the ex-players get. Like, they get brought in to really find out what's going on within Carlton. And so I think the better that, you know, the more Brendan Bolton gets more comfortable, he's going to give some of that. But, yeah, they're just sick of the cliches.
Got a bit of theory they play better on the MCG, Blues, but we'll see. Anzac Day game. So we've got two huge games to go. I don't quite think that Richmond and Melbourne, based on the ticket sales, are going to get there in terms of a bigger crowd. But it's a massive game, and Melbourne, a lot to prove.
Yeah, they certainly do. After last week, 67-point loss to Hawthorn, they'll be fired up. You'd think. I spoke to Dylan Grimes today, who said exactly that, and he said it's going to be a contested ball battle. Melbourne are number one in contested ball. They're also number one in inside 50s, and Richmond don't like scoring. They like scoring forward half turnovers. So they're going to have to really step up in the midfield.
Jack Higgins didn't play in the VFL. Either did Sam Lloyd, and who was the other one?
Nathan Broad as well.
So who's going to play? If any.
I'm tipping Sam Lloyd, but I'm not sure. Ralphie, what do you reckon?
They don't desperately need another, you know, medium to tall defender, do they? Like, they've got to get him back in at some stage there. But you look at Melbourne right now, you know, no Tom McDonald. Peterson played in the VFL. Petraka's that mid-sizer. Mickey, I want to ask you a question without notice.
No.
Jake Lever?
Yeah.
Been a bust so far? Wrote about him in today's paper or not?
I wouldn't say he's been a bust, but he's been disappointing for the cashola that he's got. So who will go to him? Because I think Richmond will try and play that defensive.
Yeah, like Josh Caddy is one. Probably Jacob Townsend.
Townsend would be beautiful.
Yeah. Townsend might. Townsend went to him in the grand final last year at times too.
Did he?
Yeah.
There you go. Well, he just might be my favourite player, Jacob Townsend.
How many times have you watched the grand final?
I 16 you knew every times, but I only watched the offensive stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Mick, you might bring in a topic about the Twilight Grand Final, rather. I believe that the AFL is discussing that this week.
This Friday could be a monumental day in the history of our game.
So what will happen, Mick, is we'll see an Anzac Eve game where twinkling lights...
It's not an Anzac Eve, it's a night game.
It's a night game the day before Anzac Day. And Mick, 88,000 or whatever, you know, a beautiful ceremony there to pay homage to all those who have passed away. Is there any chance that this decision 3 days later will be influenced by what an extraordinary, you know, celebration this has become?
I think there's a massive chance that you can almost lock it in, 99% that they'll go with the Twilight.
Really?
And I just think that's sad. Well, don't you think it is?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd be guessing too. My contacts at the AFL are pretty thin these days. But
haven't got a hotline to Gill.
Have you?
No. The one thing is,
Chris,
I actually think...
They'll go with the money, won't they?
I'd love to see
They'll break what ain't... They'll fix what ain't broke.
Yeah, I said I was... not a traditionalist when it comes to the draw, but I think I am with Grand Final Day. I don't see a reason to change it. I was there last year. It was fantastic.
It was a pretty good day.
When you got uncertainty.
Swan Street was going off that night.
When there's a little bit of uncertainty, what do, Mick? You follow the money.
You follow
so
the
I
cash.
So I still think that what they'll do is trial a Twilight Grand Final later in the broadcast deal, and then they say, how good was that? And even though they've promised they won't, they'll say, show us the money for, you know, the next broadcast deal after that. I just worry about 28 minutes for half time. I think that's
why is it got to be 28 minutes?
Because they got to get, you know, Meatloaf in. They got to wheel him in his wheelchair. Going to get the light spectacular. Got all those kids waving their, you know, that calico up and down. But anyway, that's how long it would take to get on and off. And that's my one impediment. I think that's a long time for blokes to be standing in the sheds waiting around.
Trivia question though: who won the last day grand final? Who won the first Twilight Grand Final?
Richmond and Richmond.
Now, what about the big Collingwood-Essendon game? It is an absolute monster. They fill it every year, regardless of the drug scandal or whatever. Who do you tipping, boys?
Collingwood. Yeah, I just think Collingwood have got amazing form for 1 week. So isn't that amazing? That's what this season's
it's
like.
It's fickle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, like Essendon haven't really shown the capacity to slow down anyone's ball speed, and that was what was featured last week. You know, there was pyrotechnic speed from Collingwood, so that's the only reason. But, yeah, two sides that are a bit middle of the road at the moment.
Yeah, I like Essendon, actually.
Yes!
I just think few bigger bodies. I think they just look better on paper, and I really liked what I saw from them against Port last week. So.
Should be an absolute cracker, boys. We'll have all those updates on heraldsun.com with the MRO. Is that what it's called, Ralphie?
MRO
and the tribunal. And, of course, the build-up to the big games. Thanks for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.